Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. The entire theme is in the title of the program, The Word for Your Life. And what a blessing it is to see how that can be carried out in various areas of ministry opportunities. And we have Tom Spanagle in our studio this morning. And Tom, you joined us last time to just kind of talk about how the Lord started your family into ministries with your wife, basically, in child evangelism. And then you kind of became involved serving on the board and that kind of a thing. But then the Lord began to stretch you and give you opportunities to be involved in ministries other than just kind of working with figures and finances and things like that, and went into a prison ministry and then a nursing home ministry. And I'd like to just have you maybe share some stories of what God has done in those ministries and how you can see the finger of God at work.
Well, the finger of God has been placed on me because I was not the kind of person who likes people at all.
Okay.
When I became saved, I decided I would just work in finance. Mm. I would do books. I would do treasury reports.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I wanted to do. And God has a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And he has the ability to give us all the things that we need to fulfill what he wants done through us. And I was drawn into dealing with people in areas that I was afraid to do. It scared me to have to speak to people. I did not like speaking in public.
Right.
And when I became involved in the prison ministry, it was a shock because prisons are so much different. People have no idea what prison is like. For instance, volunteers like myself and attorneys are the only people who meet face-to-face with inmates.
Oh, okay.
If your husband is in prison, you'll see him over a video screen. If your father is in prison, that's the way you'll see your father over a video screen.
Mm.
But for some reason, God has allowed volunteers, Christians, and other religious groups to meet face-to-face with these prisoners, to see the problems on their face, to hear them, to touch them, to shake their hands.
Wow.
They have contact with them, which is a privilege that I've come to really enjoy and to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to a prison, we don't have appointments. We don't have time slots that were guaranteed. They tell us when to come. They tell us the day and the time to come. If something's going on, we don't get to go in.
It's exactly, right.
And often there are inspections. They call them shakedowns.
Yes.
There are drills that are done. There are training that goes on for the staff. They don't tell you that ahead of time purposely because they're afraid if you know, you may pass that information on to the inmate.
Right, right.
So it's all kept confidential for a good reason.
Right.
But we serve at the discretion of the staff.
Mm.
And we need to have the right attitude when we go in.
Yes.
We're not only ministering to the inmates, we also minister with the staff. We are part of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
They consider us to be staff. And we keep their needs in mind also. You know, the inmates come by choice. They don't line them up or force them to come.
Right.
And I can go to a scheduled Bible study, and there may be no one there.
Mm-hmm.
And those are hard things to deal with, but God's in control.
Right.
And some people ask me, Tom, how can you go into those prisons? Aren't you afraid? And I say, you know, it's more dangerous driving down there than it is in there. There's more chances of you being in an accident or being shot or mugged or whatever, getting in and out of the car than being in that prison. So it's really quite safe, and the inmates appreciate you being there.
Mm.
I have many people that I call friends that are in there.
And they probably would protect you if anything dangerous ever started to happen.
That's right.
Because of the ministry you're having in their lives.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They will look out for you. We try to explain the Word of God in a way that it can be difficult because many of these inmates don't read very well.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gone very far in school. There are many people that I meet who cannot read at all and will tell me that. And it's difficult to get them involved in anything if they can't read the Bible.
Right, right.
But they still come maybe for the music, to hear the songs, maybe just to hear what people have to say. The verbal part
verbal
of it
testimonies,
is important too.
Yeah, yeah.
I try to explain the Bible as best as I can, and I've made up my own Bible study lessons. And I wanted to share a verse with you that I like to go over with the men. It's from Isaiah 55, verse 1. And in that verse, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price."
Mm-hmm.
And then I will ask them, you know, there's a lot of words in the Bible that we're not sure what the meaning is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the word ho means? And some will volunteer, "Well, that's a tool that I use in the garden." And I'll say, "That's close."
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing you never want to do is to say wrong answer.
No.
I always try to encourage them.
Right, right.
And other people have come up with answers to that word hole. They said, "Well, isn't that what you say to a horse?"
Okay.
And I'm surprised they even know that nowadays.
Right, today, yeah.
There aren't many people who know that even.
Right.
And people come up with all kinds of definitions for words. So we have to be so careful when we teach anywhere, when we teach anywhere, that we're explaining exactly what the Word of God says.
Right.
And I enjoy doing that. I've come to enjoy doing that. But I've come to enjoy the men that I've run into in prison, too. One of the first people that I ran into when I became involved in prison ministries, I was sitting in a room waiting for the officers to bring the prisoners, and there was a large window there that looked out on the corridor. And as I was sitting in there, two officers came by, and between them was a very large man who was shackled to the officers.
Mm-hmm.
His feet were shackled, and he had shackles around his stomach.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, "I've never seen that before. I wonder where they're taking him."
Mm.
Well, they stopped right outside the door.
Mm.
And then they took the shackles off of him, and then they opened the door and they put him in there with me all alone. And for a moment,
Lord!
For a moment, I was a little surprised and wondering, what will I do if there's a reason that he was shackled?
right, exactly.
But the man was one of the nicest men that you would ever meet. Maybe there was a reason for it that he had to be shackled.
Right.
And you never know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
and that's true in life.
You know? That's the truth, yeah.
But it's true in ministry. You never know what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met another young man in a county jail who told me that he knew nothing about God. His family were not Christians. They didn't go to church. In fact, they were involved in criminal activities, and he was in trouble constantly because of his upbringing.
Sure.
And one day he said, "You know, I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand my life. There's got to be a way out of this. I wonder if God could help me somehow." And then
open doors,
yes. And then before they placed him in the jail, it probably was in the officer's squad car, he said, "You know what I'm going to do?" He thought to himself, "The first man that I see with a Bible, I'm going to ask him to explain it to me."
Wow.
Because I never opened one up, don't know what's in it.
In the police car,
yeah. He decided this.
Yeah.
They took him into the jail. The first man that he saw was an old black man.
Mm.
And I think that God has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I think God tests us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he made this statement, "I'm going to ask the first man that I saw to open the Bible up share it with me." And it wasn't easy to come up to a man who was much older than you, a man who was from a different racial background than you,
mm-hmm.
and to have the courage to say, "Hey, would you explain what's in the Bible to me?"
Mm-hmm.
But he did it anyways.
Did he really?
And he trusted in Jesus.
Oh,
at that
wow.
very meeting with that man, he trusted in Jesus. And I met him a few days later.
Okay.
And I thought that the man was a Christian for a long time. He was so joyful.
Wow.
He was so enthused about the Bible. And when I came to find out that he knew nothing from his past, I was surprised
my
what God
goodness.
Had done
wow.
in his life.
That is awesome.
I met another young man who was in prison, and he came to the Bible study, and he was the only one who came. And I didn't know why, because usually more people would come. But as I talked to him, I discovered that he was a homosexual. And I questioned him very closely about that. I said, "Do you know what the Bible says about that?" He said, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I know what the Bible says about that." And I tried to minister to him. I tried to show him what the Bible said.
Right.
I didn't need to convict him that he knew he was sinning.
Mm.
And he continued to come, but no one else would. And finally, a few other people came one day And when he showed up, those other people left. And I realized what was happening.
They were
shunning him.
I see.
They were shunning him.
Yeah.
Because he professed to be a Christian, and they did not like to hear that.
Wow.
And then when he left, one of those men said to me, "Don't you know what he is? Didn't you see the Kool-Aid that he puts on his lips for lipstick? Because you can't buy lipstick."
Oh, I see.
And I said, "I know that he's a sinner."
Right.
"And he knows he's a sinner."
Right, right.
I said, "Don't we all sin?"
Yeah, yeah.
"Won't sin send us to hell?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that changed their attitude about him, because in the next few times, they all came together and they stayed. So you could see that God used me to help bring peace in that particular pod.
Right.
And perhaps to encourage that young man to do something about his sin, and to encourage the others to show a little concern and love for someone that they did not like at all.
Yeah. You know, the Bible says that sinners and publicans drew near to Jesus for to hear him because he had shown a concern and a love for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to love certain groups of people because of their sins, but God calls us to do that.
Right. That is so true.
You know, I've had a lot of meetings with different religious groups. The Jehovah's Witnesses is one of them. And I ran into a Jehovah's Witness once in a prison. And once again, I went into the what we call a pod where 50 men are, and no one would come. And I didn't know why. And finally, this young man came, and he began to lecture me about the Bible. And I found out that he was a Jehovah's Witness and that he had terrorized the Christians in there with questions. You know, most Jehovah's Witnesses that we run into are very accommodating. And they say that they are Christians, and they say they're better Christians than us, their attitude.
Right.
But this young man had been a Christian. And I doubt what type of church that he was in was a very good church.
Yeah, yeah.
He left it to join the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that Christians were wrong in his mind.
I see.
So he ran into Christians, and he would take his Bible, and he would show them where they were wrong.
Oh, boy.
And he tried to do that to me, too.
Yeah.
Over and over. And I listened for a whole hour and did the best that I could to be pleasant and to be accepting of him.
And we trust that God will use these testimonies to challenge your heart, to reach out. Don't give up, even when no one came or just one came. Tom continued to pray and wait for God to work. My precious friends, you have neighbors. You have co-workers. You have associates. They need God. Lay them before the throne of grace, pray, and then share Christ as God opens their hearts and shows them their need for a life change. Till the next time, we trust God will bless you in a fantastic way.